1994, Secret Service agent Steven Sepulveda reported that the biggest thief in calling card history had actually been caught. This person actually stole 100,000 calling card numbers, sold them to computer hackers across the country, who then sold them to people overseas, who then made $50 million worth of free phone calls to the United States. This person's code name, Night Shadow, appropriately so, the originator of this plot, actually worked as a switch engineer for MCI. He wrote a software program that diverted and held the calling card numbers that ran through MCI switching equipment. The Secret Service said that this crime was the most sophisticated theft of numbers in history and was part of an international ring operating in LA, Chicago, and other cities. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how brilliant some people can be. Just incredibly brilliant, intelligent, and yet use that incredible gift in such a bad way. So whether it's stealing credit card numbers, calling card numbers, or taking a candy bar from a store, the Lord God speaks to us in the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments, thou shalt not steal. Don't steal. As we all know, stealing is to take something or someone that doesn't belong to you. And what God says to us in this commandment about not stealing is that God respects the material universe that he's made. And he respects the idea of ownership, that there are certain things that belong to certain people. What one has is a gift from God. What you have, what the relationships that you have, the possessions that you have, we believe as Christians that those are all gifts from God. And as gifts from God to us, we are called to be the faithful stewards of those, that they actually all belong to God, but they've been entrusted to us, and we're to be faithful stewards of those wonderful treasures that God has given us. And they're to be a blessing to us and a blessing to others. And what this commandment says to us when God says to us, don't steal, is that he respects us. He respects us as human beings. He respects what he has given us and what he has blessed us to have. And he calls us to respect that as well, not only in terms of what we have in our possessions and to cherish those and honor those, but also to respect the other person and to respect that what they have belongs to them and that it's not to be stolen. So as believers, we would affirm the truth that stealing is wrong, that we're not supposed to steal. And yet, let me just say, there's a whole lot of stealing going on. It's been estimated that in the United States alone, there are 27 million shoplifters, and that 10 million of them have been caught in the past 5 years. 13 billion has been stolen from retailers each year, just from shoplifting. That's more than $35 million a day. It's a lot of money. Stealing can involve taking something, and usually that's the way in which you and I think of stealing. It's about taking something from somebody else, and that certainly is one of the ways in which stealing is to be understood. But actually, when you look at Scripture as well, stealing can be understood as not giving what God has called you to give. If you look at Malachi, the prophet speaks to the people of Israel under the anointing of God's Spirit, and he calls them a nation of robbers. It's a pretty strong words from a prophet to the nation of Israel. And he calls them a nation of robbers, people that steal, because they have not been faithful in their tithes and offerings and giving those to the Lord God Almighty. One of the other ways in which you and I need to think about this as well is that, you know, if God has put it upon your heart to do something with a gift that you have, maybe God has called you to forgive somebody who has wronged you. Maybe God has called you in some way to be charitable with your time and your money, maybe helping out at St. Matthew's house or giving to somebody who is in need. Maybe God in some way has called you to use a gift that is uniquely yours in order to benefit somebody else. And let's just say for whatever reason, you say no to God. God, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to you. And you know God is speaking to you. there is a very real way in which you and I, if we do that, have robbed the other person. We have stolen from them what God has been leading us by His Spirit to give to them and to be a blessing to them. I believe that God created the universe to not be a place where people are busy stealing things from one another. I believe God created the universe not to be a place where everybody is hoarding and that the person at the end of the game with the most things win. I believe God has created the universe to be a celebration of giving. To be a celebration of giving. Think about it. What you and I as believers celebrate every week is we celebrate Jesus Christ hanging on the cross and rising from the dead for our sins. It is the greatest gift that God has given you and me and has given all of humanity, and it is a celebration of giving of His Son. At the very center of this universe, it is a celebration of giving. And God is inviting you and I into that dance. God is inviting you and I into that celebration of giving and to be a blessing. What I want to say to all of us here today is that if any of us here present here today have stolen before, and I imagine most of us have, if not all, Lent is a wonderful opportunity for us as sinners. It's a wonderful opportunity for those of us who have stolen in one way or another over time to come to the Lord in repentance. And I shared with you last week what repentance was. Repentance, very simply, was walking in a particular direction and deciding to move in a new direction. So if you or I have been involved in stealing in any way, to repent is to say, Lord, I acknowledge your word to me that I'm not supposed to steal. Rather, I'm supposed to give and be a blessing. I'm going to turn around and away from that pattern of behavior of stealing, and I'm going to move in the direction that you have called me to be, honoring your word and to be a blessing to others. That is repentance. And that is one of the things that you and I can celebrate during this season of Lent. That if you are still in your conscience struggling with something that you did 20 years ago, something that you took that you shouldn't have, and you've been burdened by that ever since, you don't have to leave here burdened today. That's wonderful news. You still haven't heard it yet because you're not smiling, but that's okay. Sometimes it takes time to really hear the Word of God, doesn't it, and receive it. I said, you don't have to leave here burdened today with that guilt that you've been carrying for years about something that you stole or something that you shouldn't have done. But the gift that God gives us afresh today is the gift of repentance, the gift of confessing our sin to Him and turning away from it, the gift of receiving fully and completely His mercy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that when we get up from our knees, we can wipe away our tears and smile and rejoice and celebrate in the mercy of God that is ours. That is wonderful news. That is joyful news to no longer be burdened by the guilt of that sin. And as you and I receive the mercy of the Lord and the grace of the Lord, we'll receive His grace to move in a new direction, to no longer be occupied by material things, to no longer be occupied about what this other person has and what we don't have, but to move into a place of transformation, of beginning to see the world in a different way, as a place of God's great giving and blessing, in which He is inviting you and me to be people who give and who are a blessing. Secondly, I want to speak to anyone here today who has experienced someone stealing from you. Is there anybody here today who has had that experience? Yeah, I imagine so. Many of you have. Many of us here have had the experience of somebody robbing us financially. Maybe there's some other kind of material possession. We might have felt robbed in the sense of deserving some kind of relationship with this person that they never really gave us. That's another way in which you can be robbed. It hurts, doesn't it? It's painful. For those who have gone through that, maybe you have spent a good part of your life trying to get that loss back. You have been trying and trying and trying to restore what was robbed from you decades ago, and you haven't been able to do it in a way that has brought you peace. Well, again, you have come to the right place today. You are here for a reason, and me too. And part of what you and I can celebrate today, if we will grab a hold of it, is freedom and liberation. You know, one of the most important things that you and I can do when somebody has stolen from us and we have been robbed is to acknowledge that it's taken place, that we've lost someone or something, and that it hurts. And maybe the answer isn't trying to get that person back or get that thing back, but finally to acknowledge the loss, surrender it before God, let it go, and ask God to give you the grace to start afresh today. You can start afresh today if you want to. And I encourage you to do that because some of us, hello, I'll raise my hand, some of us have been trying a lifetime to get back what we lost. And it hasn't happened yet. Only took me 50 years to figure that out. That's not too long, I guess. I wish it would have been a lot sooner, brother, but I'm kind of thick. Lay it down. Let them go. Write it off. Start afresh today. And entrust your future to God and the new thing that God will do and what God will add to you. Could it be that maybe part of the reason why you and I have experienced loss in our life, whatever it might be, is that that might be an invitation not to hold on to the loss of the past and trying to make it right, but to embrace the God of our present moment, to embrace the Lord of love, to embrace the one for whom the Apostle Paul said, I count everything lost for the sake of Christ. Remember that verse? And embraced him fully and completely as the one who would meet every need he would ever have. That, I believe, is what Jesus is inviting you and I to today who have experienced loss, who have been robbed in some way. Experience fulfillment in him. Experience what you have always been looking for. And forgive. Forgive and let go. And let God put his mercy and his grace and whatever he wants to replace that loss with, whatever he wants to give you, receive it. And receive the smile and the joy that will be uniquely yours. You know, in the midst of a culture and a world in which there is so much stealing that is going on, where there is so much robbing that is going on, where there is a giant battle going on for material goods and having so many different possessions and all of those kinds of things, what is our witness to be in this present moment? What is the witness of the church to be? Is it to stand on top of a hill and say, you're not supposed to do that? What a winsome witness that is, huh? Don't do that. I affirm we should be able to say to the world, you know what, you're heading in the wrong direction. You shouldn't be stealing from anybody. You need to honor one another. I agree with that totally. But our witness needs to be more than that. It needs to be more than that. And I believe our witness in the face of such stealing is a call to be generous givers. It's a call to follow our Father and to be faithful to him. There's a wonderful scripture, it's one of my favorites in scripture in the Bible, Luke 6:38. You might want to write that down to look at it later on. But I believe Jesus gives us a way forward in terms of being a witness in this present moment. Luke 6:38, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." And Jesus is sharing this in the context of calling people not to judge one another, calling people to forgive one another. And so in that context, what Jesus is saying is that as you give your mercy, as you give your love to other people who maybe have wronged you, as you forgive those who have stolen from you and robbed you, as you walk in my love toward people, the way I love humanity, it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, poured into your lap. For the measure with which you give, it will be given back to you. Beloved of God, God is calling us in this moment to be faithful to His Spirit and to be open to His Holy Spirit, to be a counterculture, to be a city set on a hill, to be a light in the darkness, to be something incredibly different from this world in this moment, which it desperately needs. It needs a community of people that are different from them. The church needs to stop being like the world, and we need to start being the bride of Jesus Christ. We need to be in the light and be something different from the world. So when they look at us, they say, you know what? You don't look the way you used to look. You are bright. You're full of light. You're full of love. I want what you got. Now I want what you have. I didn't want it before, but I want what you have. And that's God's call to us, to be generous givers in the face of such rampant materialism and stealing and robbing and hoarding. God is calling us. Can you believe it? God is calling us to give, to be a blessing, to be generous givers in the love of the Father as the Holy Spirit guides and leads us, and to be an incredible witness to the power of the Holy Spirit and the abundance of our God. Didn't we see that today in the parable of the prodigal son? Don't you want a father like that? That when you come running up to the house, he doesn't say to you, who are you? And the doors are locked and the lights are turned off and you're not welcome back home because you left and you did what you did. Father could have easily done that. Aren't you glad you didn't have a father who, when you came up to the door, said, okay, you are going to be one of my hired hands. I'm going to work you like a dog, and you're never going to be my son again. Father could have treated him like that. That's all the prodigal was looking for. But what does this father do? He loves him. He's been looking over the hills for days, months, waiting for his son to return because his heart is broken. The father loves his son, and the father wants his son to come back. That's what the father wants. And so when he does, he throws a party. He throws a party not because it's the thing he should do. He throws a party because he's happy. He wants to celebrate. He wants to rejoice that his son has come back. And that's the God that we serve. Abundance. Loving. A giver. Ready to forgive abundantly and incredibly. Give of your heart. Give of your time. Give of your money. Give of your mercy. Give and it will be given back to you. We don't give to get. I acknowledge that. But the way God has set up the universe, and I love it. I love how He set it up. As I give, God's going to give back to me. I receive that. I want that. Give and it will be given back to you. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, provision, blessing, the abundance of the Father's gifts to you. Give and it will be given back to you. I believe that as you and I give out of a heart of love, as God's Spirit guides and leads us, God gives back to us exactly what we need. It's not going to be the exact same gift that we give away, but rather God gives to you and me exactly what we need. What a wonderful God. What an awesome God that we serve. What a beautiful God. Our God is a generous giver. You and I will never be able, ever, ever able to outgive God. And I'm excited about that. In just a few moments, you're going to hear a testimony about this from the healing mission. You're going to hear a testimony of God's healing grace and power and the extravagance of our God and how He just keeps on giving and loving and healing and blessing. God wants to do that for each one of you here today. And he's just waiting for your yes to him. It says toward the end of this verse in Luke 6:38, "For the measure with which you give is the measure with which it'll be given back to you." You know, as I read about that verse over this past week in preparation for this message, I went to the kitchen of our house, talked to my wife first about the coffee, and I got out a couple of bags. I don't drink coffee, but I thought this was a good illustration today. A couple plastic bags here. This is a teaspoon of coffee. How much could you make from that, babe? A cup or two or whatever? Half a cup. Yeah, see? Half a cup. If you want it weak, right? Right. So this is a teaspoon of coffee right here. See that? This is a cup. Look at those measurements. A teaspoon and a cup. And the Lord says to us, the measure with which you give, with which you give, with which you and I choose to give, the measure with which you give is the measure that will be given back to you. Beloved of God, I don't know what measuring cup you're using or measuring spoon. But my prayer for you and my prayer for me is that we might move from the teaspoon to the cup. Amen.